Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Players are all up in arms and worried and scared with the whole COVID thing, and some teams are doing it right, and we're going to talk about what the Pirates are up to. This is Bucks in the Basement. Welcome, everybody. All right. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. I just listened to a bunch of jackwagons who have decided that, you know, they would fight about money for I don't know how many months and not get a protocol for getting people tested. Like, that's the biggest thing to me, like, that sucks worse than anything. I was about to say suck something else, but we're not going to go
for it, dude. We're live
right now.
Sucks ass. Go for it.
It sucks ass.
I mean, yeah, that's okay. You can say sucks ass. You can say that on the radio. I used to get away with that when I did rock radio in the late 90s. So I think you can get away with sucks ass.
Okay. It sucks ass, because here's my thing is you got all these teams that are not practicing because the testing wasn't up to speed and there's really no protocols, and they were saying there wasn't going to be that much travel, but yet I looked at the Pirates schedule and it's like, we're bouncing all over the country from time. It's like, it makes absolutely no sense. They said they were going to play five games in one place. We go from playing like the White Sox in Chicago up to Detroit, back home, then to St. Louis, then up to Minnesota. And I'm like, why the hell wouldn't we play the White Sox for like four or five games and then just go across town and play the Cubs for a couple days? I mean,
but that would be, every team would want that. See what I'm saying? Every team would want that. And so you might get a bottleneck because you don't have even schedules, because you're not playing all the American League teams the same amount of games that you're playing the National League teams, and you're not even playing all the American League teams the same amount of games as other American League teams, because everybody's going to end up with these rivalry games that they have to play so that you can have the Sox versus the Cubs, and I think they're playing something like six games against them.
Yeah.
So they have to even certain things out, so it's going to be this uneven schedule. It's going to be weird. Look, they were never going to do this perfect. We knew it was going to be messy. It was going to be ugly. It was going to suck. But going back to your point about the whole COVID-19 thing and the testing, what I'm noticing here is Major League Baseball had something loose in place, and you're starting to find out which organizations are class organizations and which ones aren't, because there are some organizations that have had no problems. Not one. Not only have they had no problems, but you're not hearing about who actually tested positive. There's no leaks. Their guys are completely protected. They're refusing to give out any information. Their beat reporters are climbing up the walls. They can't get anywhere near the players. The players are talking about how comfortable they are, and everybody's getting tested exactly when they should get tested. And then you have teams that have messed up organizations, and they were relying on Major League Baseball. And if you're relying on Major League Baseball after watching the way that Rob Manfred has run things over the last couple of years, you're an idiot. You deserve what you get. If you're a general manager, I saw the general manager from Oakland screaming and yelling about the entire thing. Well, listen here, moron. You had on the 1st of July, you could have had your guys in. So some teams, because the rule was starting on the 1st, you could have your guys in, did an intake session on the 1st and got their guys. They started testing them early.
Yeah.
Some teams said, you know, 4th of July is coming up. This isn't going to work out. I guarantee you places will be closed over the weekend. Let's get our guys done right now. And they had guys starting right on the 1st when they were allowed to. And some teams waited until the 3rd because that's what Major League Baseball suggested. So those that were dumb enough to follow the same organization and has screwed up this entire season, messed up this entire process from top to bottom, their commissioner went out and went on a podcast and admitted that there were never going to be any more than 60 games, and then backtracked on the thing because that's how you lose a grievance in one easy step. And you believe that these guys had it all together? Give me a break. And that's what you're finding out. And I'm going to tell you something. For years and years and years, certain teams have had this mystique that they're well run, that those are the class of baseball. Well, if you do it right in this instance, you may get a reputation and start pulling free agents that you never thought you could pull before, because they're going to get word around the league that, oh, they did it right. So what are you hearing out of Pirates camp? Are they doing it right? Because I haven't heard one thing about Pirates players not getting tested and there being a mess out of Pirates camp. I've heard it out of other camps, but I haven't heard it out of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh seems like they're running things well.
No, Pittsburgh ran it well. And for the longest time, I mean, Derek Shelton stood there and said, you know, all 40 players are, you know, in Pittsburgh. And then it comes out that, you know, Blake Cederlund and Socrates Brito tested positive. But that was after what seemed like a lot of pressure that they really didn't want to release that. But I feel like they almost felt like they needed to. But for the most part, I mean, I feel like that our veterans, Josh Bell, Joe Musgrove, like have it pretty well locked down. That's just basically like, we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to suck it up. They're, you know, wearing masks in onto the field. They're, you know, having a good time. And they're just basically saying, you know what, we're going to run this like we were running it down in Florida, and they're running it really well. So I have no complaints. And then it does suck that, you know, a couple of our players tested positive and everything, but
it was going to happen.
But they, like I said, I feel like they handled it very, very well by, you know, talking with them, making sure, like, it wasn't like the first test came out and they were like, oh yeah, we got guys. They were like, okay, all of our guys are here. And it seemed like they wanted to get like the second test through to like double check. And once it was, you know, it was found out that they were like, okay, these are the guys, but you know, we're just going to move forward and do whatever. And I think like they've been very quiet about it. And I really appreciate it, but they've been kind of like, I think they've been, as people have said, like on the forefront of this from the beginning. I mean, back down in Florida, they were the first team to shut down in between and do like a deep clean. When I was down there, there were freaking hand sanitizers everywhere, and they were taking it very seriously. So that's just kind of what has to happen. And the thing that gets me is you have one of the best players, actually possibly one of the best players of all time in Mike Trout, and your organization, and he's teetering on the fence of whether to play or not, and you're one of the people that screws stuff up. Thanks a lot, Angels.
Bob Nightingale screwed that all up on Twitter the other day. I'm sure you saw that. He takes Joe Mannin's
quote. Oh, he's an idiot.
He takes Joe Mannin's quote. Well, he only knows when he's talking about when Scott Boras or an owner directly tells him what to say, so that he can look like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to things in the winter meetings and at draft deadlines. Otherwise, he never has anything intelligent to say. That guy's so far off, it's not even funny. I mean, there are people that are just guys with blogs that get better information than Bob Nightingale from USA Today. That guy's brutal. And he takes that quote out of context where Joe Mannin's talking about, like, you know, if you're not ready to play, it's okay, you're not ready to play. What he's trying to point out is the people that won't wear a mask, won't socially distance, and don't care about their teammates, I wish they wouldn't come and play. But what he does is he twists it around to make it seem like he's talking about Mike Trout not having any heart or not wanting to play. And then, luckily, the full transcript is released, and everybody else at the press conference rips Bob Nightingale and tells the truth. And if that doesn't happen, that guy should have his journalistic license pulled. Oh, wait, they don't give them licenses. That's why they're so bad at what they do.
Then the other piece was, is their testing, though. Like, they were, the testers, like, didn't show up for them and, like, a few other teams. It just happened to be that one of them was, like, the Angels, where they said they were spitting in their own things and trying to send them off so they could start practicing and stuff.
You're seeing certain organizations that were organized, and you're seeing certain organizations that are not. And not every organization is bowing to media pressure to tell people if somebody is sick. I'm going to go back to one of my favorite teams to talk about, the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
Okay? Who had two people test positive. Now, Yoan Moncada was not in camp the last couple days, and neither was Michael Kopech. And every time they go to Ricky Renteria, who's the manager, or Rick Hahn, who's the general manager, they both go, it's personal. Somebody presses them. It's none of your business. It's what? It's none of you. None of you what? None of your business. They don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And it, you know what I'm telling you right now? The players appreciate that on a team, and that's going to move its way around the league. And the Pirates need to follow that lead, because there's other teams that are doing the exact same thing. where they're not giving out the information. They're like, it's none of your business. Go sit in the upper deck. You're a member of the press. We're dealing with a pandemic. Stay away from my players. I want to make sure everybody's tested. I want them to feel comfortable and I want them to play.
Yeah.
And though this is baseball's a microcosm right now of the whole world, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You have people that are doing it right. You have restaurants and bars and businesses that make you wear a mask when you walk in the door, remove people who won't put one on. Okay. They say, this is our policy. We're going to continue what our policy is because we don't want to get shut down and we don't want to see things get out of hand because we'll lose our business. And then you have other people that have no plan. Locally, I've got in my area right here, I've got two or three businesses that closed their doors in the last week.
Yeah.
And those three business owners, I knew them from dealing with them from different podcasts and stuff. And I'll be honest with you, they didn't really have a very good plan. They just kept waiting for somebody else to take care of it for them. Meanwhile, the business owners that had a plan have been actually finding a way to survive during this time. It's the same thing in baseball right now. The A's have no plan. The Pirates seem to have a plan. You are just looking right now at the exact same thing across the scope of America. You're seeing the same thing. And right now you're seeing which teams are not running their team well.
Yeah.
And I'm happy at least that we're not getting anything coming out of Pirates camp saying that we're doing a bad job. Hey, we couldn't practice today because we didn't have our test. We haven't heard that. Good for Ben Cherington. We screwed up and we don't know who's sick and who isn't sick and we gave out some guy's name when he really didn't want his name given out. Well, we haven't had to deal with that because we're actually making sure that the guy gives permission. So that's a good thing.
Oh, I mean, like the big mess is like the Phillies. I mean, the Phillies just like leak everything. Like
nice.
Philadelphia.
In the meantime, while we're talking here, Craig, we have a wild card game in our sim season that I'm going to be simulating in the background. The Pirates meet the Chicago Cubs for one game in Chicago. And then if we win, we're going to sim through and see how the Pirates do. But I'm going to sim this game and see how it goes while we're doing it. So we're going to sim it. I will jump in every once in a while and give an update. Kyle Hendricks against Joe Musgrove in Chicago. Puig will start in right, Reynolds in left, Bell at first, Sano at third, Scooter Gennett is at second, Adam Frazier is at short, Stallings is catching, Malik Smith is in center field, and Musgrove will be the starting pitcher. But go ahead with your point, big guy.
It's just everything that you've seen, like teams that, I mean, I'll even give it to the Cincinnati Reds. Like, I hate the Reds, but they just basically said, you know what, we're not going to have any fans here, we're not going to have, like, stuff going on. So they basically started putting a lot of their workout equipment, like, out on, like, in behind the seats where like they could spread people out and do stuff the right way. And it's like, people just need to like, just think they need to, because we can see, I mean, they put the schedule out. We had a quote unquote agreement. We've got this stuff moving forward. Now, if they could shut down.
Yeah, we're losing you, Craig. This is why I don't want to do the live show anymore. This is why I don't want to do it. Cause he's in the middle of a great point. And then something weird happens with the internet and this Podbean thing. Just so people know, when we stop doing the live thing after tonight, you will still be able to communicate with us. We have a phone line set up for you to call in. You want to dial 708-459-8406, 708-459-8406. Give a call into that number and leave any comment that you want to leave to talk about the Pirates or anything we talk about on the show. That line is available right now. Leave a message. It will be included in the next show. All right, let me give you a quick update here as to what's going on while you get yourself situated. I'll give you a quick, right now we've got two pitchers that are just cruising. Hendricks has only given up one hit. Musgrove has only given up two hits. And we go into the top of the fourth inning right now with no score in Chicago. They had an opportunity in the last inning. Otherwise, nothing else has been happening here. Malik Smith got on with a single after Stallings struck out. And he stole second base, then Musgrove bunted him to third. And with two outs, Yasiel Puig popped up to the pitcher. So, we were able to get the Cubs 1-2-3. We're into the top of the fourth with Brian Reynolds leading off. Continue what you were saying there, buddy.
I kind of lost my train of thought. I don't know where I was going with this. Where was I at?
You're angry? I feel like you get angry too much about this stuff. Let's be honest here. Okay? I think that the negativity, and this is a point I've been waiting to make on this show. There's a lot of negativity with the press. The exact same people in the baseball media that kept telling you that baseball is coming back. There's no way baseball is not coming back. The same people that fed you everything the owner sent out to try to pressure the players back because they knew they would lose their jobs, that they weren't getting any hits on their websites, and nobody was listening to their podcasts, and nobody was checking out their radio station, and nobody was reading their articles, and nobody was paying any attention to their networks. those same people who were worried they were going to get laid off if sports took a year off, who begged and pleaded and prodded and tried to do everything they could to get to interfere in the negotiations, to push whatever was coming out, especially from the ownership, to try to move this thing along, because if not, they could have all been in the unemployment line like most of the country went into at some point during COVID-19. These exact same people now, there's articles out all over the place. Deadspin had an article by an absolute hack by the name of Julie DeCaro, and she sends out an article that basically rips the fact that they're even going to try to play the season. You know she had that article in her back pocket for 2 months. And now she throws it out there. And now you're getting all of them, that the same people that were telling you, don't worry, there's going to be baseball. Don't worry, everything's going to happen. They can't wait to tell you a COVID number. They can't wait to tell you that this is going to fail. They can't wait to get you nervous. You want to know why? You'll read their stuff. And you got to just relax about this. Look, there's some mistakes. There's some issues. There's some problems. I get it. Some guys are going to opt out. It's going to happen. Baseball's going to play. They're going to play. And you may only have, of your original 25-man roster, you thought you were going to have 22 of them are actually going to play and 3 are going to opt out. But you're still going to have 7 more guys join the team that are from your AAA system or AA system, and you're going to play. And it's going to count, and it's going to be glorious. And I guarantee you there'll be people in the stands in most major league ballparks before this season ends. Guarantee you, Craig, right now. And anybody who sits there and says there's no way this season gets all the way through 60 games is just trying to find a way to be negative.
Basically, look at the schedule. And like right before I go on vacation, supposedly go on vacation to Florida, the Pirates are playing the White Sox in Chicago. And I basically thought to myself, I'm like, if there is allowed to be fans in the stands in Chicago, I'm taking an extra 2 days off before I go on vacation, and I'm freaking driving out to Chicago, and I'm seeing a baseball game live. Like, right. I don't care.
Well, they're going to have the rooftop. I already know that they're going to have the rooftops at Wrigley. They already have approval to use the rooftops because they're outdoors and they fall underneath anything else that a restaurant or bar can have. So the rooftops will be open and selling tickets. Now, they might be $400 a seat because it's going to be the hard to get. Because if they don't have baseball stadiums, but I'm going to tell you, opening day in Wrigley, the stadium might be empty, but the rooftops will have people. Now, think how crazy that is. And I guarantee you they will have too many people in those rooftops. You'll be looking at it going, those people aren't 6 feet apart from each other. They'll be packed.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the craziest, most surreal thing in the world to watch rooftops in Chicago on television when this whole thing goes down. Because you're going to see them all standing out their rooftops. Meanwhile, it's going to be empty at the stadium. I know for a fact that there's bar owners around every ballpark in America. I guarantee you they're trying to get streets closed, that are trying to set up like anything they can, because fans are going to want to be around the ballpark even though they can't get into it. And that's going to drive the owners nuts, because they're going to be like, look at all the money we're losing out on that we could have. And they're going to be pushing to get in there, My dad's a season ticket holder. He's already been contacted. Don't give up hope yet. We think we're going to be able to get fans in there at some point. I believe that it's going to happen. I believe that they'll have fans in there. It's all going to have to work around local laws and different restrictions, but they will find a way to get some butts in the seats.
Yeah.
By the way, I have an update for you. I have an update for you in this game. It's going to be the top of the fourth inning. Brian Reynolds is going to pop out to catcher Wilson Contreras. Josh Bell is going to get an infield hit. Miguel Sano will walk, advancing Bell to second. Scooter Gennett is going to single to right field. Bell is going to come around to try to score, and Jason Hayward is going to throw him out at home plate. Adam Frazier will single to right, which is going to load the bases back up again, leaving Sano on third. Stallings will single to left. Sano will score. Gennett will be thrown out at home plate. The Pirates make 2 outs at home plate, but yet still have a run and lead currently going into the bottom of the fourth inning, 1-0 in the NL wildcard game.
We're going to lose by 2 runs or 1 run.
We just gave up a run. Joe Musket, right away we gave him a run. I'm going to look up and see how he did it here. Schwarber grounded out, and then Wilson Contreras reached base on a fielding error by my guy Scooter Gennett. Oh, come on. Ian Happ strikes out swinging. David Bodie just tripled to right, knocking Wilson Contreras in. It's 1-1 with Bodie standing on third base and 2 outs. Musgrove facing the pitcher Kyle Hendricks, and he strikes him out. He's through the inning, and after 4, it's 1-1.
No.
Keller gives up a run in the fifth inning, and then in the top of the sixth inning, Bell walks, Sano strikes out, and Gennett hits a double, scoring Bell. It's tied back up at 2. And now Adam Frazier singles in Scooter Gennett. The Pirates go up 3-2 with Adam Frazier on first base. There's going to be a pitching change here for the Cubs. They're going to bring in Jeremy Jeffries. There's 1 out here in the top of the sixth inning with Jacob Stallings at the plate. He's going to strike out on 3 pitches. Malik Smith is going to come up and ground out the short, and that's going to end the inning. But the Pirates, after giving up the lead, lead 3-2 going into the bottom of the sixth inning.
We'll take that. You know what the crazy thing is I was waiting for the schedule to come out like everybody else was, and they did this big, huge thing on MLB Network or whatever. They completely, like, skipped over the Pirates schedule. Like, they didn't even, like, announce, like, any of their games or anything. It was, like, the goofiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
They don't care about the Pirates. National media doesn't
They don't care about the Pirates.
About the Pirates. I brought Alex Wood in here in the bottom of the seventh inning, even though he's a starter, because this game means so much. He just pitched a 1-2-3 bottom of the seventh, and Josh Bell is up here in the top of the eighth inning. They've gone to their bullpen. Ryan Tapera has come in. Fly out by Bell. A strikeout from Sano is now 0-3. Here comes Jeanette, who's 2-3 in this game. He's going to walk. Adam Frazier's going to draw a walk. And here comes Jacob Stallings with two on. It's a 3-2 game here in the top of the eighth inning. Two outs. Stallings is going to fly out in a shallow right field. And that inning is over. We go to the bottom of the eighth inning. We're going to leave Wood out there. Kyle Schwarber comes to the plate. He's going to ground out the short. Wilson Contreras is going to hit a single in the right field. Ian Happ is going to walk. So Wood is now in trouble with Bodie coming up to the plate. And then the pitcher spot. Alex Wood, the lefty, stands in. He's got one gone here, and he's looking for that ground ball. The pitch on the way, a fly out in the shallow center field. After it's caught, it gets thrown in lazily, and Contreras advances to third as the outfielder's not paying attention. Kind of a muffed play there by our center fielder. We're going to see who they're going to bring in to pinch hit. Nico Hoerner. Oh, no! He gives up a double! Double given up by Alex Wood here in the bottom of the eighth inning, and we're now losing 4-3. Anthony Rizzo comes to the plate and walks, and it's time to get Wood out of there. The guy has been so good for us, and we expected him to come in there and just get him. Michael Lorenzen comes in, who we picked up. He strikes out the next batter, and we head to the top of the ninth inning. It'll be Malik Smith, the pitcher slot, and Yasiel Puig with the top of the order. Reynolds and Bell after that. So now it's time to make some decisions as to what we're going to do in this game. On the bench, we got Eric Gonzalez, Kevin Kramer, John Ryan Murphy. Those are the three pinch hitters that are available to us. Craig, take me through how you want to see this inning set up.
I think we got to let Smith hit.
All right. Pitching change, Dan Winkler is going to come in for the Cubs. And that's going to be a fly out in the right field. So now here comes the pitching spot. We'll see if we can pinch hit somebody. You want Gonzalez, Kramer, or Murphy? One out here in the top of the ninth inning, trailing by a run in Chicago.
Murphy.
Murphy's going to come up. John Ryan Murphy's going to come up. The pitch on the way. That's a single on the right field. And the Pirates are not dead yet. Yasiel Puig coming into plate, trailing by a run with a runner on first. I would imagine you want to take Murphy out and find somebody that can run, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So now we've got Eric Gonzalez.
Who do we have?
Let's see here. Eric Gonzalez has good speed, not very good at stealing. Kevin Kramer, a little bit better at stealing, not a guarantee, not very good speed-wise.
I say we put Gonzalez in there.
We're going to put Gonzalez in there. So here comes Eric Gonzalez. He is going to pinch run on first base. Yasiel Puig comes to the plate. He is 1-for-4 in this game. And he's going to strike out on three pitches. And Brian Reynolds will come to the plate. We're down to our last bullet with Gonzalez on first. Reynolds is 0-for-4 in this game. Here we go, Craig. This could be the whole season. And that's a base hit into left field. Gonzalez in the second. He cannot advance. First and second with two outs, and Josh Bell is coming to the plate. Bell is 1-for-3 in this game. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm so worried about it. What do you think is going to happen next? Tell me. Come on. Here we go. What's going to happen? Simulated season wildcard game. You're in Wrigley.
Fly out to left.
Fly out to left. Grounded out to the shortstop, and the game and the season is over. So unfortunately, the Pirates did make it to the postseason in the simulated season. An excellent job by them. We did an awful lot to get them into the postseason, but we lose 4-3 in Wrigley as the Cubs come back and defeat us, and the simulated season is over. And thank God, because I'm kind of done with it. But it was fun. Now, what do we learn from the simulated season? Let's talk about that a little bit. I think what we learned is that if the Pirates are going to be if the Pirates are going to be any good, they got to make a lot of changes. Look, we won game 163. Think about this. Like right now, I see this in here right now. Russ says, it feels normal. I'm used to this. Or Eric says, I'm used to this. And Russ says, it feels normal. All right, guys, I get it. But the Pirates won game 163 last week. We had a great season. But here's the problem. unless the Pirates are willing to go out and make any kind of moves, nothing's happening this year. And what's amazing to me is that as this is all starting up, they're not knocking on Yasiel Puig's door yet. They're not knocking on Scooter Gennett's door yet. And they're not very interested in spending any money. And you have to wonder, is Ben Cherington asking Bob Nutting for money and getting told no? Or is Cherington not interested because he sees this as, yeah, it's anybody's game. Yeah, everybody's got a chance. But let's be honest, there's no way we're winning the World Series here. And you don't know. Nutting could have sat there and said, you have this budget. Like, imagine this. This has happened in other teams. Other teams in rebuilds have been told this, their general managers. You have a budget. It's X amount of dollars. I mean, with most teams, it would be, you have a budget of $150 million. With Bob Nutting, it's you have a budget of $75 million, all right? But what if he's told, like, if you don't spend it this year, you could roll it to next year? And he goes, well, then I'm not spending any money because I'm focused on a long build.
I think that it's basically that he has constructed this team. He's brought in the cheaper version of the free agents to kind of fill spots for now. And he is just going to stick with what he has now. And hopefully, I mean, that's the big thing, is hopefully it'll be what it has been in the past. And what I believe Huntington had was, I want to see a kind of like, I want to see how you're going to build it first. I want to see, the winning start to return and see what your plan is before I start to give you any more money. And I think that it was basically like this year was I know people are going to say spend nutting, win nutting, but I believe this was a money saving year. I mean, there's free agents they could have gone out and got. They said they were interested in Kevin Pillar and other people. And when it went a little bit, I believe, above what they were willing to spend, they just basically said, you know what, we'll get Jared Dyson, Jarrod Dyson instead. Well, we'll bring in Heredia. We'll bring in JT Riddle. We'll bring in these guys as opposed to they could have brought in, instead of bringing in, Heredia and Dyson, they could have went out and got Puig. Or if they didn't want, Riddle, they could have went out and spent a little bit more and got Jeanette. So there's like the guys I feel like they've, chosen to bring into those spots and are going to roll forward with them and just see where it plays out and see if they can, fill a gap here for a couple, years. Or maybe, this year, I know everybody says like anything can happen. And yeah, I've already said this, the Pirates, you could make the playoffs. The teams that are going to be good enough to make the playoffs, I don't see them beating them in a 5-game series or a 7-game series. And that's not because I don't like the players that we have. I like the base and the foundation we have, but I still think that Ben Cherington's in that mode where he just he's trying to evaluate exactly what he has. Work it out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he...
Anyway, folks, that's the sound of Craig's phone going out, and it's good timing because we've reached our 30 minutes of good right now. So we're going to wrap up the show. I want to tell you all that I appreciate you jumping on and listening to us here live on Bucks in the Basement. This is the last live show until we can get the technology to work just a little bit better. And we will be back, though, next week, and you will hear us on demand, as always, at bucksinthebasement.com. If you want to jump in and call us at any time, and you're welcome to do it. Jump in and call us at any time. You can leave us a message. You can talk to us on the social media. Craig runs all the social media accounts. So on Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Instagram, you go find Craig. He writes for Inside Bucks Basement. You can do all that stuff, talk with Craig. Or you can call the phone line that I monitor. And I would love to hear your takes on some of the things that we've talked about. And I would love to hear what you have to say about what the Pirates should be doing or what they are doing. And there's a simple phone number for you to call. All you do is when it says leave a message, because it's just one of these like Skype things that we set up where we can leave a message and then we can draw the message off of it. So there's nothing personalized on it. It's just going to say leave a message, 708-459-8406. 708-459-8406. Give us a call 24/7. It picks up immediately. You're not disturbing me if you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you drunk dial me, it's totally okay. 708-459-8406. Tell us what you think, and we will put that in the very next show. My friend, It was a good simulated season, and I'm looking forward to see what happens here with Major League Baseball. But like I said at the beginning, COVID ain't stopping this train. This train is pulling out from the station, and we're going to have baseball. And I don't care what all these negative Nancys say. It's happening.
That sounds good to me, brother.
All right. I like how you said that with trepidation. Like, hey, is my mic working? I'm not even sure if I want to say anything. I'm done. I'm so tired of every time I start to make a good point, Chris tells me that the thing isn't working.
But enjoy
get your predictions in. I see these are great. People are putting in their predictions for the Pirates here in a 60-game schedule. Bucko Mike says 18-42. Russ has him at 9-51. That's rough. I don't think it's going to be 9-51, guys. That's pretty brutal. Anybody else got a prediction? Jump it in, throw it in the chat. What do you think, Craig? What do they finish with? How do you think they do?
They're finishing with 27 wins.
27 wins. Eric says 49-11. He's smoking crack at home. Kids, don't smoke crack. My name is Chris. That's Craig. This is Bucks in the Basement. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.